Bobbig.
Hi, my name is Albert Schimpf, and I'm a PhD student at Technische Universität Kaiserslautern, which is located in Germany. I'm happy to be here today, and I'm going to talk about workflows, interfaces, and composition in general. We all know tools and toolboxes. We have them at home, right? And these tools, they do one thing very well. Knife is cutting things, ruler is for measuring and aligning, and we can use these tools together to do something for which we don't need to create another tool. For example, we want to cut a straight line. Then we can use the knife and ruler, for example. I'm sure there exists a specialized tool somewhere for that exact use case. In computer science, when two programs want to communicate, we need to think about the interface too. So what about the interface? One way to write programs is to design them in such a way that they always fit. This is what Douglas McIlroy did when he implemented the Unix system. And he shared his ways of thinking in the Bell System Technical Journal in 1978. Write programs in such a way that the output can become the input of any other program, he said. It wasn't entirely clear at the time what the interface should be. Later on, if you follow the history of Unix, with much trial and error and experience, text streams became the dominant universal interface, which all programs were implemented against. So this message was refined to basically to handle text streams, because that is a universal interface. What emerged out of this decision was a convenient pipe operator, which we now know as Unix pipelines or Unix pipes. As a quick crash course, let's say we want to count the number of files in the current folder. Instead of writing one specialized program to do that, we could instead connect two well-known programs, list and word count, and connect the output of list, which is a text stream, to the input of word count, which is also text stream, which accepts text streams as input, via this convenient pipe operator, which is that big long line here. That's what I usually imagine it to be. Essentially, we have a string-to-string interface when we think about it as types. So what's nice about this approach of using strings and universal interface and like an operator for control flow, in this case pipes? Well, for one, we have a very clear separation of business logic and control flow. We can focus on writing programs in isolation and worry about wiring them together later on. Of course, by design, the composition of such programs will always work. That's quite nice. It's very nice for small chains, and implicit wiring is convenient up to the point that it's still used on a day-to-day basis for quick one-off jobs and tasks. But we can wish for more, right? Sometimes we really want to access output of previous steps without having to fiddle around with wiring programs together. And sometimes sequential control flow is just not enough. When we want to pass an output to multiple other programs, we just want this one step to maybe additionally log some messages. Finally, we lose a lot of metadata when working with just strings. We need to parse them, and that introduces some problems which will appear only at runtime. Maybe there's another interface which we can design for, while still being as convenient and easy to use as Unix pipes. Many of you, I think, know about structured data and JSON in particular. This is the first thing that came to my mind when I thought of a universal interface, and it even says on the web page that it's a universal interface and you should use it. So let's think about writing programs that handle maps instead. Implementing against the map interface is quite easy. What we are really interested in is how the composition of these programs will work. With this, we will enter the world of workflows, because they are exactly concerned with how to connect steps or programs in a generic way. But we, in addition, want to focus on the map interface. Specifically, we are interested in workflow systems with this universal map interface, and When I started researching this, I was really surprised that there are a lot of different workflow systems. This is a non-complete list, but even that list consists of 280 open source workflow systems. They all do very similar things, at least, conceptually, but focus on different aspects. There are, of course, systems with a universal interface. Others focus on typing and are research-oriented. And some of them just use the file system as the interface. For example, KernMantle, which focuses on managing effects in a workflow framework by using function language theory backed up by applicative small nets and errors. That's currently the state of the art as far as I know. And some of them focus on distribution or orchestration of containers, because workflows became more and more complex over time, and the need to build build frameworks to manage workflows arose quite quickly. And while I don't know all the details of every project on the list, it was quite hard to find a workflow system which is based on the universal map interface. Systems which come very close are, for example, GitHub Actions or similar frameworks that use containers as their main tasks. There, the input-output are maps, but only string maps. It makes sense for that case, because the values, the outputs and inputs of those tasks are strings, and the containers work with the string environment. So I think we can conclude that we need yet another workflow system. We'll base it on the map interface. Single programs will be components in that workflow system, and ideally, we want to define a simple operation semantics with types that we can do some type checking if possible. And with that, I want to show you how such a system can work. We'll start with simple chaining, as in Linux pipelines, and later do examples with graphs. In contrast to pipes, input and output now work on the content of the map. Here we configure input and output, and we have to specify where the list stores the files of the list of files it produces. This is in addition to configuration of the program itself, like the -1 flag to list as a line separated by a new line. What we get is that later on, the following program can access what was previously put into the map by the previous programs. For example, this here produces output at the key X, and the following programs connected by these arrows can access that location, and the generic program P can access both if he wants to. That's actually it for training. Nothing much has changed. Where difficulties arise is when we find multiple errors, either as input or as output. Here's where most design decisions happen. Well, what does it mean when a program has multiple outgoing errors? Which error first? Maybe we want the outgoing errors to be isolated, or even want concurrency implicitly. What happens if one branch crashes for some reason? These are just some of the questions you have to think about when introducing graph-like structures in a workflow system. So, first the bad news. When we have nodes with multiple outgoing errors, the control flow semantics depend on each node implementation, and that you have to provide. The good news, though, is there are only so many node combinators that make sense. Mostly functional nodes, which have only one output error, is the basis of the framework, like in a chaining of tasks case, where the semantics are simple. But there are also other control flow tasks, basically, where we need to specify what happens. For example, the if-then-else task splits up the output depending on A, input map, if there are multiple tasks accessing this node. There are also other interesting things we can do, like forking to multiple programs or mapping over a list. What if we want the fork programs to be independent? For that, we introduce another type of error, which signifies that concurrency is happening. We call that a dispatch error. And when there are multiple but an unknown amount of them, like in the case of map, we group them together. Like this. This means that whenever output is produced, the different outputs don't depend on each other and can crash independently and won't affect any other output. For multiple incoming errors, though, we need to talk about how a task views the world around it. It really doesn't know that much, as it has a very local and limited viewpoint. In contrast to Unix pipes, though, here the composition operator is baked into the task. That means it knows its next target, which can be configured. This is only a design decision, though, which proved useful in the end, instead of using a separate flow operator to connect these tasks together. But what the task doesn't know is which tasks will access it. That's always true. This forces the implementation to consider concurrent access always. Ideally, the program is stateless and each input map is handled concurrently without affecting each other. Though state is not forbidden, and local state, or more precise, thread local or map local state, is necessary for more complex control flow. One of those more complex control schemes is fork join. Usually, we think of fork join as two separate entities, right? And the join joins on the maps the fork task emits. This is perfectly fine and can be done if the fork task supplies some sort of join key with its output, such that the join task knows which inputs belong together, even though it doesn't know anything about who is accessing the task. Basically, it has to manage state somehow. I want to show you how you can think more locally with a more task local view of fork join. And how we're going to do that? We're going to use futures for that. Conceptually, we can think of the task local view as a box, as explained before, and that lets us add a bit tiny more information to each error. With these errors, we can wait for a result. Once the result is there, we don't care how, we join and continue to the next node. With futures, we move the responsibility away to manage the state of the futures, in this case, the framework. This makes it a bit easier to work with tasks that emit maps and have to wait for some result, for example, in fork join. And I think with that, we are ready for some practical showcase of these concepts. Let's start with some simple examples and maybe even pipette action. Let's go through some examples one by one. We will be using a reference implementation called Scraber that implements the concept we've discussed so far. It works on specifications of workflows. YAML or JSON are provided, but you can implement your own parser if you want. Let's start with a minimal hello world example. This is a minimal example of such a specification, and it's basically a list of tasks, and we use a key value map for configuring these tasks. We can kind of guess what it does because it has a descriptive name. It's one of the main goals of workflows, being declarative in nature and on a very high abstraction level. When we execute this, it should print what we expect, a log message that says hello world. So far we haven't used the map at all. To use the map interface though, we need something more at the specification level. We need to access the map contents somehow. And we can do that by using a simple templating engine, which is so often used by other template generating frameworks, but which mostly only work on generating strings. Now we added some more tasks sequentially, and where we want to depend on input content, we use a templating engine in the embedded in strings. It can access keys, among other functions like array indexing and nested map access. In this case, the flow will print hello world twice, and the second task and the third task is parameterized on the input of the accessing map. Let's see what happens. And it prints hello world twice. Since we modulated our workflows quite perfectly, we of course want to be able to generate control flow graphs if we need them. And we can do that by just providing flag and then a control flow file as a dot file will be generated. So, but what does this workflow really do? The tasks, I mean. Well, you can't really know. You have to know how to use the tools provided to you. You are the domain expert in this case. That means either reading the documentation or writing your own set of tools that you're comfortable with. The framework ships with many basic tasks in the base package, so you can start right away. In this case, we are using simple echoes, which can read, modify, and use the map. We can put simple static values at specific locations in the map. That's the case for the first node. And we can read the values again. That's the case for the second and third node. What you can also see here is how addressing works. These are mostly design decision features and convenience features, as to separate nodes into small subgraphs, here start another, and by convention use the tasks forward to the next task in the subgraph until it reaches the end. If it reaches the end and you want to continue, we can always jump to another subtask directly via the go-to configuration. That's it for this boring example. Let's do something more interesting. We can of course interact with the outside world, where the convention is still to use strings. And for that, we have implemented two tasks, appropriately called input and output. Input is a stream node, which you have to know in written documentation, which can stream its input to another node via the stream target label. Packed in the map, of course, nothing too unordinary. Output just prints whatever input on exit gets. It's also parameterized. No surprises here either. And we can use it in pipes now, or any other program which works with strings. Like, for example, we can just execute it. And then it should just repeat what we say to it. And when we provide some input, we get the same output back. Though, you notice that there's no ordering guarantees. For streaming, there is no ordering guarantees, at least in that implementation. If you want some ordering guarantees, you have to use another task that guarantees ordering. And in this case, you can use folding, for example. Instead of streaming, we collect it in a list and fold over that list. And if, typo, capture connection, and we get the same input, same output as we got as input, with the same ordering. So far, we've talked about programs and how we can access them. So far, we've talked about how programs can access and use the universal map interface. So far, we've talked about how programs can access and use the universal map interface, that we have specification, and how the composition of those tasks is done. And we know how concurrency is handled by the framework in a very rough way. Before we go on to solve the real-world problem with our new concepts, let's quickly talk about types. Why not use any other workflow framework that works similarly, but maybe even a lot more than just enough? Well, in contrast to most other workflow frameworks, we have defined an operational semantics and can introduce a type system for those templates and the templating engine. So if you have a task that's parameterized on the input, then we can guarantee that the composition of those tasks will always work, because we can guarantee that the evaluation of the template will always result in a valid value with the expected type. You can have an implement task that only produce, though, and not consume any input, which is the case if you need some functionality which is very domain-specific and fits to your use case. Currently, we support atomic values like strings, integers, booleans, lists, maps, because they are very widely used, custom records, and polymorphic types, which can provide a relationship between input and output, like in the case for the fold function. We saw for the fold function. But where are they? Why didn't we see any in the specification? Well, they're very closely coupled with the implementation itself, not the specification. The implementation of the tasks makes sure that the tasks actually consume and produce the types which are required by the workflow engine. And we don't need to read source code for that to get to know what types the task works with. It can easily be generated. Here you can see generated documentation for a task I implemented. And in this documentation, you can both check what the task, here it's called node, is supposed to do, and what types and the configuration it requires on the bottom. Inputs are denoted by a T in brackets for template, which denotes that the configuration is a template and will be evaluated to the target type in the brackets. Here, flatten is evaluated to a list of lists. This does not yet mean that the task is parameterized in input. You can always provide static information in the specification too, like actually writing a list of lists set to it. On the other case, here's an L, which is the output of the task, which will be a list of the elements of the list of lists. And so with that, I think we have enough knowledge to start the real demo. Let's say we are a domain expert working in data science and know how the web works. And we want to know how to monitor for keywords on the website we're interested in. Like, for example, we're interested in distributed systems and task flows and workflows and so on. We're going to write a simple workflow step by step and iterative process. Let's say we want to monitor a website, in this case a news website, Hacker News, it's quite popular, for keywords that I'm interested in the titles or in the content. For example, task, distributed system, or workflows could be one of the many keywords I'm interested in. And if it's just about the content, then that's pretty easy. I can just use any small Python script or even a pipe with curl and vget, pipe it into grep and filter for those keywords. And I get a message, please check the news. And that's a bit too simple, that's not enough for me. I want maybe to get the title of the post and the link it links to, so I can decide if I want to spend time watching or reading the news. And I just don't want to write any source code anymore, no Python scripts. I like drawing graphs and approaching this problem in a very visual way. So let's try to solve this problem using workflows and literally using pen and paper first. So I'm a domain expert in web, and I know how HTTP requests work, I know how CSS queries work. So let's use the tools that I have and try to configure them instead of writing like a program to do that. Okay, let's see what I have to do. I'm interested in these posts, and these are a class with a title, and that's roughly what I need to do. So the tools are at my disposal that I already know of are HTTP requests, CSS queries. Then, since we have a list of keywords, let's check what keywords we're interested in. We want to map over those and check if the title matches one of those keywords, and then maybe some Boolean operator over lists. We can also use folding over lists, but it's a bit too configuration heavy. And then we want, of course, some notification. I'm comfortable with Telegram bots, so I use my own Telegram task to notify me. I just write to file system if I want. And yeah, let's start with design. First, we start with HTTP request. We get a stream body. It's an ugly circle. We start with a body and do a CSS query on that to filter the first 30 posts. And I know it's a stream that I will get, and I want the outer HTML of those matches to be handled independently. So if one post can't be passed for some reason, I don't care if one doesn't go through. Then we do twice CSS query again, just to get the title plus the link. This time it's only one match, and we now finally compare the title with the keywords. And since the keywords is a list, we map over that list. And let's give this region name, process a single post. This is process page. And let's continue with the keyword matching. Let's just use the string contains. It's a basic function provided that we can use any time. So we match if the keyword is contained in the title, and then we join the results in a list of booleans, which we will use our boolean operator in this junction. We get a result as a bool. We use if then else. I haven't written them as in the tools, but just basic flowing mechanisms. And we're interested in the true branch, and then we notify with, for example, the telegram. And that's it for the design. And the nice thing would be if this matches almost exactly the way our workflow in the end will be specified. And that was exactly the goal of the framework, to enable such specifications. And this is how it will look like. I'll just copy paste it on the structure from the graph, fill in the names of the tasks that I know exist already. And now it's time to fill them in and configure them properly. And how you do that is, usually, it would be nice if there would be some autocomplete implemented, but right now that's not the case. So you need to look up the documentation manually. In the future there will be autocomplete via some plugin or something like that. So in the HTTP request, we are of course interested in the URL we have configured. We have configured in the arguments file. And we put it to some location on the map and go to the process page section. In that, we process the page that we just put in the map, so we need to configure that. Body. We already know we want the outer HTML, and we only now need the query, what we actually want to query. With class story link. And we stream that to the check. Link check post. So we continue here. Now we have two CSS queries, one for the link, and one for the title and one for the link. And I'm not going to bore you with that, filling it out. It's quite simple. It's just, put to the outer HTML location, and then querying on A with the either text or attribute function of the CSS query. So we're basically configuring how this CSS query works. Then we're map joining on the keywords. Let's define what we want to merge into a list of results. So for if the mapped task returns a match, we merge it in a list of matches. The list will be the keywords that we provide, and where we will put the list element is a keyword, so that the matcher knows what keyword it matches. Like target will be match keyword, and this is the address. This one. The only thing left to do is now the Boolean operator in the if then else, in addition to the match keyword, and then we are done. I just pushed it. It's not that interesting. Just need to look up the documentation of it. It needs a list of matches, and the result will be put somewhere. And the if then else will be target to notify. And then we can access the matches. First, let's implement the and lastly, let's implement the match keyword. String contains function task, which will be the keyword regex, and which will be applied to the content. And here you'll see we need indexing of arrays, because the title in the output of the CSS query is a list of results. And we know this will be only one, so it's a convenient feature to be able to access the list indices in the templating engine. And the same thing can be done with the logging message. We can write title matches and print out the link. And that should be it, I think. We can later replace this with a Telegram node and add the bot token and recipient ID. And this will be pretty easy after we've done this. Okay, let's try it. That should be it. Let's check if the control flow graph is generated. And it's not, because we mistyped an address. So that's nice. It's an if then else. The true target does not exist. Okay, because I changed the name while preparing. I'm good. And let's see if it matches. Work. Okay, create the graph. And, okay, good. Looks almost like our drawing. Does it work then? Is the question. So it gets the news and did not get any results. Let's check just to make sure. Let's check for modern. The nice thing about this, we can just configure this here in its top level file and see if this works. We get the HTTP request. And we get two matches, and that's our keyword demo filter. Now we can add the Telegram node or any other notification, and with a very visual design. That's it for the demo. We've implemented a keyword monitoring system by using predefined task name and a graph, and basically by just configuring them and wiring them together. And I hope you had fun, and I could make you excited about using workflow system in general. And in summary, I think the string interface is not the only truth. We could be implementing against something else in the general purpose environment, not only strings. And the map interface in particular allows for static type checking, and that's nice for composition. And I encourage you to try it out yourself. It's pretty easy to use. Also try out other workflow systems. You most likely already use one, even maybe if you don't consider it a workflow system. And most of all, I hope you enjoy the conference and all the other talks, and have fun.